So yeah, we'll be using it for all kinds of things. That, and then I do presentations. I can use it for that. What we're going to do next weekend, if Jeff can make it, we're going to go up to Michigan, and we're going to pick up white cedar logs. We'll bring them back here, and I'll split them by hand, and I'll split the planking and the ribs for the inside of the boat out of that. Everything's handmade.
Yeah.
So this canoe is going to be made just like a regular birch bark canoe, with the one exception, and that is the shell is fiberglass instead of birch bark.
So are these actual seams here, or are they sort of decorative to look?
Seams would have been.
Okay.
With birch bark, you saw the bark that was in there.
Yeah.
You would take roots like this. This is root that's been cleaned and split. You take this root, and you put the pieces of bark together, and you actually sew it with those roots. That's the thread that holds the bark together. And then on top of that, because it's not watertight, they would take pitch from a pine tree, from one of the conifers. They'd take the pitch from the tree, and they would mix it with a little bit of lard, mm-hmm. some kind of animal fat, maybe bear grease. And then sometimes they would add ash, and that's what I replicated here. And then they would seal the seams with that pitch. And that's what made the watertight canoe. And the Indians are the people who invented this.
Wow.
It's a pretty amazing system. And these canoes, this is just like the canoe that LaSalle used. 20 feet long, and it was made by probably Ojibwe. And that's what this is, Ojibwe canoe. Ojibwe.
Wow. So, yeah. And...
And this is Ralph invented this. This is what Ralph used to build, everything from a 14-foot canoe up to a 34-foot canoe. So this is the mid-size, I guess I'd say.
Oh man,
version. Sedan, you know.
So Michael told me the other day that Ralph did not suffer fools, I think was your exact wording. You got any stories about that, about Ralph? Any stories you want to share?
A thousand stories about Ralph. No, I don't have anything right now off the top of my head. Everybody talks fondly of Ralph. We all talk fondly. We loved him. We loved him like a dad. But he was a human being. He had his moments. Everybody has their moments. We remember the fond moments and some of the funny moments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was no saint, that's for sure. But he was a genuinely caring person, a nice person, and he was a person who liked to share his knowledge with people. And that's where I came in. If it wasn't for Ralph, I wouldn't be doing half the things I'm doing right now. He shared his knowledge with me, and he shared his passion with me, and his passion stuck. And so I'm the product of Ralph Friesen, and pretty much everybody that hangs around here is the same way. It was addictive to hang around this place because there's so many fun things that are going on, so many interesting people that come in. And that's one of the things that we want to keep happening is we want to perpetuate that. We want to move the canoe base to a new location because this place is going to be sold. And keep the name Chicagoland Canoe Basin. Keep encouraging these interesting people to show up and have nights. Come and talk. We'll have presentations there. We'll build canoes. We'll do what we can to perpetuate this lifestyle, which is just a ton of fun.
Yeah.
That's really what we want to do.
So what was it like? I mean, was it like you... Meet, you know, just nuts and bolts of it, you know, just sort of, hey, I've got a couple hours, show up here, pitch in, help them with some canoe or something.
Yeah, it was a blacksmith shop, and for until the last few years, Ralph was still doing blacksmith work. He was welding. He welded, you know, a month before he passed away, he was welding in this shop. I mean, he was doing all those things. It was a functional blacksmith shop and a canoe shop, and you saw the showroom. It's a sales room.
Mm-hmm.
So this was an ongoing business. I got involved because I wanted to document these canoes. I came to them, and I'm still working on the LaSalle expedition, organizing slides, trying to get things more organized so we can use them. And I came to Ralph and I said, you know, I'd like to know a little bit more about documenting how those canoes are built. And he says, well, I really don't have that. And I said, well, how about if I build a canoe and document that? He said, okay. So I built two 16-foot canoes, documented the whole thing. But that's just a part of the story. Before that, I'd show up on a day and I'd walk in the shop and he'd say, hey, hold this. And I'd be in here for 4 hours working, helping him make gunnels. But when he came to visit Ralph, that's what you did.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to stop working just to come and talk to you, although he did a lot of that. But for me, come on, man, let's build this canoe. So I'd come in, we'd help him with one of the projects we did was that canvas canoe. Showed up one day, and instead of working on my boat, I'm helping him fix the canvas boat, you know? So it was a give take. It was a really interesting thing for me. Mike too, I'm sure, but my different perspective. Mike was an employee. Mm-hmm. So he had other things that Mike was busy all the time doing something. But Ralph always needed help, so he'd show up and I'd plan a whole afternoon just because I knew that you can't stop by and talk for 20 minutes. It's not going to happen. I come in, it's been half a day, but that I planned for that.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. You know, you show up and you help Ralph. And I learned a lot. It was a ton of fun doing that. And then he passed on his knowledge to me about how to build these boats. So I sit here. There isn't a time that I come to the shop and I work on one of these boats and I shake my head thinking to myself, I'm just amazed that I'm doing this. You know, 5 years ago, I never would have dreamt. I always dreamed to build one of these things. But now I'm here, I'm shaking my head, I'm going, I can't believe I'm doing this.